how difficult it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom. We hear those words, and for the very first time and the only time in our entire life, we all sigh a sigh of relief and say, "Ah, I'm so glad I'm not rich." The only time we ever say it. And then as we're thinking through Jesus' words, we take our base salary and we times it times 3 or 4. And then we say, those people who are making that much money, whoo-wee, going to be hard for them. I'm glad that I'm not wealthy. I am glad I didn't win the lottery last week. I am so relieved because those people who are rich, well, they're in trouble. Well, as we hear the gospel lesson this morning, we hear Jesus' words. It's not that simple, is it? The truth dawns on the disciples as they are hearing Jesus speak to them. The disciples get it. They are not relieved. They're astonished. They're amazed. They're aghast. They realize that Jesus is not ultimately, in the end, talking only about money. They begin just by being amazed at his words. And then, as he says it again, and he says how difficult it is in general, he says, to enter the kingdom, they get it. And they say, "Jesus, if this is true, what you are saying, who then can be saved?" They know that Jesus is not looking up people's tax returns. He's not investigating our W-2s. Jesus is not filtering people by tax brackets. He's pointing at all of us. All of us. The disciples get it. Because the disciples were not wealthy in the standards of that day. But they realize that Jesus is talking about them. Everyone. How can we be saved? How can anyone be saved? And so the lesson, well, it's certainly about riches and mammon, earthly wealth. It's about more, it's about us and our hearts. It's about idolatry. And it's about looking around for something to grab onto in this life and to hold onto. Money is just a symptom, the chief symptom, perhaps. We all get these if onlys. If only I had $10,000 more. If only I had $100,000 more. If only I had a better retirement plan. If only I had a new car. If only, if only, if only. Then I would be happy. Then I would be content. Then I could tell God, thank you for taking care of me. But these if onlys never come to pass. Once we get to 10 or the 100,000 or the new car, there's always something else down the pike that we want even more. And we flail about, grabbing on in this life to whatever is in front of us, trying to grab on to something, trusting in this, trusting in that, grabbing on to that. If only I have this, you know, just fill in the blank. Whatever it makes you wealthy, whatever makes you complete. On and on it goes. We never stop. We never stop. That's why Jesus says how hard it is, how hard to enter the kingdom of God. Who can be saved? No one. No one. And that's why Jesus uses the word impossible. It is impossible with human beings, with mankind. That word, impossible, the cry of the disciples, who can be saved, makes everything seem hopeless. The disciples were losing hope at that very moment. It's easy for us, too, when we reflect on our if-onlys, you know, this life that we leave, the journey, we look back at all the times that we've trusted in a million different things than rather what we should. It's easy to lose hope. And if we look in this world today and we look at ourselves, it's easy to lose hope, too. We think about who can be saved. How is the church going to get along? What's going to happen? It's easy to lose hope. There's less and less people interested in Christianity. Less and less people who have ever heard this story before, this Bible reading. Less and less people who have ever heard the Bible read or read it themselves. Who will be saved? Our own children are less and less interested, less and less connected. They go less and less. There's more people on Sunday morning at the farmer's market in Catonsville than there are in the churches, right? We can all do the math. There's more soccer matches, more sports than Sunday school. Who can be saved? As our society barrels down what it seems obviously to be a wrong path. And of course, we're not just pointing fingers at other people. We're pointing fingers at ourselves because we ourselves, if we are honest, find it much easier time and again simply to skip church or to ignore what the scriptures really say. And so there is very easy to be with these apostles as they throw up their hands. Well, who can be saved then? What? It's hopelessness, right? And I can admit to feeling falling prey to this, you know, as a pastor, you know, spend almost 30 years in ministry, and you know, the trend lines aren't good, right? In 30 years across the spectrum, whether it's my work or in general, right? It's not a good line to be, and so it's easy as a pastor to say, well, what's the use? You know, who can be saved? We are all camels trying to go through the eye of the needle. And it's impossible. It's hard. But then something happens. And it happens on a regular basis. What happens is, Sunday morning, I come here early, turn on the lights, right? Set up the technology, turn the readings and the lectern over there, get ready, Bible class, worship. And the most amazing thing happens. It's a miracle, really. It's an extraordinary, supernatural event. You show up. Here you are. You have come. You're actually here. There are people here, led by the Holy Spirit, who want to hear God's word. There are people here led by that same Holy Spirit, God, the worker of miracles, people who know their sin. There are people here who want to hear the gospel. And for all of our different motivations, some of them sinful, the Holy Spirit has worked this miracle. Here you are. And not just one. Two, three, four, five, six. It's an amazing thing. Here we are all. Camels. Bumpy. Huge. Awkward. And yet the Holy Spirit is bringing us to the eye of the needle. Not on account of us. Not because we're such holy, pure people. It's a pure miracle of the Holy Spirit. Us, we're here, baptized children, faith in Jesus Christ, and it's being strengthened even as we hear. It's a supernatural miracle, a wonder done by God, a mystery. It is impossible. It is impossible that any of us can be saved. Jesus says as much. It is impossible. And yet, Christ has died for us. And we hear the proclamation. And we receive the gifts of mercy and forgiveness. And what is impossible happens. It happens. Us, sinners, camels, lost, hopeless, we say amen together to the gospel, the good news that Jesus has died precisely for camels and people like us. We feast on the body and blood of Jesus. It's impossible that the body and blood of Jesus is in that bread and wine, and yet it is a miracle for forgiveness to strengthen our hearts. There's plenty hopelessness. There's plenty of truth in that hopelessness, for we are all disqualified, each one of us. All of us hopeless, lost. But here we are. And the Word of God, which goes out and does not return void, the Word of God, sharper than a sword, is ringing in our ears. And that Word creates faith in us. And we don't chase away the Holy Spirit. And we hear the Word. And whatever sins we have, whatever camelness we have, it doesn't cancel the cross. God's Word is powerful and active and always does its work. Camels do go through the needle. Sinners are forgiven. Jesus died and rose for us. And here in this place, his name is praised, sins are forgiven, and God's people say amen, and thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.